But it seems within the last few years, like 2015, the Trump era, he's really just like taking his mask off and just is going for broke with the propaganda, the pro-Israel and the pro-Trump propaganda. It says when Roger Stone came around, Alex Jones flipped 180 degrees, completely flipped the switch, and now it's literally like he's just a partisan hack for Trump. And in regards to the Jewish lobby, Alex Jones years ago would talk about how influential they are, how they were behind 9/11, and now he's totally flipped it. The Israel lobby is with Trump, and they're on our side, and the globalists want to destroy Israel and destroy America. So it's like we have this common enemy in the deep state, when I always thought the Zionists were the deep state.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Adam Green coming on the show. He is a hard-charging independent journalist, and he is pulling no punches, and he's saying it like he sees it with Alex Jones. He really believes that Alex Jones has been compromised and has changed his views. He did a flip-flop. He used to say things like the word Zionism. He will not use that word. In fact, the whole media won't use it. It's a blacked-out word. Nobody will use the word Zionism. And it's the politics of Israel and Zionism is not allowed for us to talk and debate. I don't know why we can talk about Russia's politics, China's politics, Iran's politics, every other country on the planet. We can discuss the politics that they have. But when it comes to Israel or it comes to Zionism, the mass media is not allowed to even speak the words. They're just so pro-Israel. And he sees Alex Jones flip-flopping on this. Alex Jones used to say this stuff, and he's changed his tune. And why? And then we also talk about the potential connection that Alex Jones has with intelligence agencies, and even some of the information that I've gotten. I share that with viewers and listeners. Very interesting information. And then for my patrons, he sticks around and talks about the Dome of the Rock. He's done a video and investigated into the Dome of the Rock, and it's this area that they want to blow up in Israel, and the connections that he has to the Rothschilds and different people, and why they want to do that. So please go to my Patreon account and get that. And then I also want to share with you the health secrets that are in the Bible. Jonathan Otto, he has an amazing documentary series that looks at this Bible health secrets and what they knew back then, what the ancients know that we have lost in today's science. Very interesting. And I have the link below so that you can see that for free. I highly suggest you look at that if you're interested in learning more about the Bible and how they had messages in there on how to stay healthy. So let's get into my interview now with Adam Green. Hi, Adam. Thanks for joining the program.
Thank you, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, I'm really interested in talking to you because I've gotten some behind-the-scenes intel and I've sat on it for a long time. And then I started watching you, and then you were on the SGT report. And you started talking, or you have been talking about some of this intel, and so, or it leads to some of that. And so let's dive right into it. You've been talking about Alex Jones and what his true allegiance is. Can you talk about some of that?
Well, I don't know about his true allegiance, but definitely some of his shortcomings would be honest coverage regarding Israel and Zionism and Trump also. He's just become a full 24-hour wall-to-wall coverage cheerleader for Trump in the last few years. And I've got some interesting theories that I've just been investigating the last few days as to why that change could have occurred.
Oh, very interesting. Well, let's hear some of this because I've been questioning it too, and I've had some behind this, you know, I sit on some stuff because I don't know how to prove it out, but I've had someone forwarded me like 800 emails showing me that Alex Jones has an actual email account with Stratford, which is an intelligence agency, what do you call it? They're a contractor for them. So they're very highly involved with that. And so I was confused as to what that was. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I've had this data coming to me. And then we see this difference in behavior that isn't consistent with some of the things that we've seen in the past. So why do you think this is happening, this change where he was really into the truth and now he's just really promoting Trump?
Well, I feel like he's always been compromised when I go back and look at him throughout his career. But it seems within the last few years, like 2015, the Trump era, he's really just like taking his mask off and just is going for broke with the propaganda, the pro-Israel and the pro-Trump propaganda. And what I think might be one of the reasons is Roger Stone coming onto the scene. And this isn't just my idea, although I've personally witnessed this. Alex Jones's wife has been going around on a rampage against him. And, you know, a lot of people dismiss her as she's just vindictive and she's trying to throw everything against the wall and see what sticks against him. But I've been witnessing the exact same things. And this is his wife, his ex-wife. And she says when Roger Stone came around, Alex Jones flipped 180 degrees, completely flipped the switch. And now it's literally like he's just a partisan hack for Trump. And a lot of people in the comments of all my videos agree. I only get the rare, like really emotional, upset defender of Alex Jones or Israel. And as far as the Stratfor thing, everybody knows that he hired a former intern from Stratfor named Molly Maroney to run his failed magazine. So it was that connection in your emails?
I didn't look through all the emails. I just noticed that when I was looking through, he actually had an email, Alex J or Jones at Stratfor, so .com or so. They have an internal email for him, and there was hundreds and hundreds of email from him, dialogue, and I didn't really dig into what the content of the email was as much as the fact that he's going back and forth talking about this stuff. So that's something that I would like to do and investigate more, but it's really interesting. Now, when you talk about his ex-wife, I have watched some of those, and I'm on the fence with that because some of the things that she's saying is as if she can't see anything that he talks about is credible, like he's got a loose screw. And kind of like somebody who has cognitive dissonance on that fat false flags would actually occur. So that was disturbing to me when I heard that, like she's kind of programmed. But in the same sense, the other parts I see as well. Like a true truth movement person does not take partisan politics. They don't look at that. They're independent from a party, a true truth person. And that disturbs me that he's so hardcore. Now, I want to believe that Trump is a good guy, that he's trying to take down this deep state. He's trying to take down the pedophilia, and I think Hillary Clinton was a monster. But you can't just be a cheerleader for somebody. You got to look at them honestly.
And all the old guests that used to regularly come on the Alex Jones show, they've all disappeared now, and they're just like out of the narrative. And if Alex Jones was an honest journalist, he would still have those old guests on, and he would hear the other side of the coin about Trump and about, current issues regarding Israel and Syria and all that stuff. And to give him credit, he does have Steve Pachenik on, who will point the finger at Israel, but everybody sees it. It's like Jones is definitely scared to go there. And that's just being like politically correct and cowardly to say this is the one subject that I'm afraid to cover and to discuss.
Just a quick break from the program to tell you about another summit that's coming up, and it's about ketones. And everybody, the rage has been about ketones because it helps burn fat and reduce inflammation. They have a series of videos that are going to start May 7th. And what you will learn is how ketones help you burn fat for energy, reduce inflammation, and how they may help prevent and eradicate diabetes, cancer, autoimmune deficiencies. And what you'll learn in this health summit is what is ketosis, how does it work, and how to separate fact from fiction, how to overcome the challenges of being keto adapted, whether you should start a keto diet or not, how to shop, live, and eat in a ketogenic lifestyle, and how you can do a keto, whether you're a meat eater, a vegetarian, or vegan even. So I will have that information below. Sign up before the Health Summit starts on May 7th if you want access to discounts. Me, for one, I want a way to be able to burn more fat. Trust me, as I get older, it's becoming harder and harder. So let's get back into our interview now. Well, and it's crazy because we have to, it's the white elephant in the room, right? There's Israel lobby, and everybody says Israel lobby is the strongest lobby in our government. And you hear this from people who are not, well, you know, the military industrial complex is pretty strong. I mean, there's a couple of really strong lobbies, but the Israel lobby is very strong, and everybody will agree to that. People that are in Congress and wherever. Mm-hmm. The white elephant in the room is Zionism versus anti-Semitism. Basically, anytime you say anything against Israel and you talk mm-hmm. about their politics, suddenly you're an anti-Semite. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense. So suddenly I'm racist or I'm against any country because I don't like their politics? That's totally ridiculous.
Yeah. Or if you address certain aspects of the religion, like I just have to accept everything that's in Judaism or even Islam or Christianity, or else I'm a bigot or I'm an anti-Semitic. It doesn't work like that. And in regards to the Jewish lobby, Alex Jones years ago would talk about how influential they are, how they were behind 9/11. And now he's totally flipped it. And I've got recent clips that are going to be included in some videos I'm doing in a documentary exposing Alex Jones. But he says the Israel lobby is with Trump and they're on our side and the globalists want to destroy Israel and destroy America. So it's like we have this common enemy in the deep state, when I always thought the Zionists were the deep state and the New World Order. Around 9/11, at that time when I listened to Alex Jones, that's who it was. He would say that it was the Zionists, had their fingerprints all over 9/11. And now they're the good guys and they're helping us and helping Trump.
Well, and I can see the Zionists being they're the New World Order. The Zionists want to control the world, period. That's the politics of it. And I can see that they could be using Israel as a pawn in that game. And Israel itself is a victim. And of course the Jewish people are, because they're being thrown into this BS, you know, for the sake of Zionism. But I don't know. I mean, because they are, well, they're using us too. I mean, the United States, we're clearly a pawn for whatever's mm-hmm. going on. You know, we're the military behind this. You wouldn't have all these suicides by military veterans if the military didn't have an issue with it, the people didn't have a conflict internally with all this stuff. So what are you learning that is changing your mind and really, I think your mind has been changed for a while, but what are you learning to really give you depth and background on this?
For a number of years, I was kind of stuck on the InfoWars narrative. And then just in the last few years, I've kind of been getting deeper into Zionism the Zionist origins of 9/11 and the war on terror and that kind of thing. And their dominance in our culture with mainstream media and Hollywood and politics. Like Trump's biggest campaign contributor is Sheldon Adelson, an openly hardcore ultra Zionist who's Israel first, wants to nuke Iran. He was the one that was pushing to have Trump move the embassy to Jerusalem. And then he got McMaster fired through the Zionist Organization of America. He's the one that got advocated to get John Bolton hired, who is a Guardian of Zion Award recipient. And even on the Democratic side, most of Hillary's supporters, like the Rothschilds, support her, and Sabin, Soros, I think it's Katzenberger is like the new Soros. So there's Jews who are just dominating politics, and that's not even getting into AIPAC, which, you know, Nikki Haley and Pence and Trump just go and just grovel to. It's like the Democrats and the Republicans are competing who can suck up more to the Jewish lobby with AIPAC and these big donors. And they're just beholden to them and not the people.
Why do you think they have such a power grip on our entire government?
Well, going back to, that's a good question. Going back to the Roger Stone, Alex Jones connection, I posted something about Alex Jones's wife mentioning Roger Stone and how she thinks that he could be Alex Jones's handler. And somebody sent me an article, which is this is so crazy. It's a 2008 article from InfoWars written by Wayne Madsen, who is no longer with InfoWars, but it was about Roger Stone involved with New York or DC escort services. And this is back when he like said that Elliot Spitzer was with an escort and it was a big ordeal. And it came out in papers that Roger Stone was into like sex parties and with his wife. And so Roger Stone is connected to these escort services, and this is what Wayne Madsen writes about, that are connected to Israeli intelligence. The escort service had a guy that had multiple Israeli passports and like $600,000 in cash. So he's tied in with these groups, and they go back all the way to Roy Cohn, who is the guy that connects Roger Stone and Trump. And he was a Jewish lawyer that was he was with McCarthy and the whole Red Scare. And what he would do is he would get politicians and important people, and he would blackmail them with escorts and sexual things. So it very well could be that Alex Jones is controlled and blackmailed, or he's just been threatened, or he's openly sold out. I don't really know. And I don't like totally want to vilify him, because if I was in his situation, or you or anybody, who knows what kind of pressure he is under. It seems like the people in charge really have mechanisms in place to get people to fall in line.
Well, so. And also he's done some good things. I mean, he's exposed and gotten people to really look at false flags and look at all this stuff. So I have this hard time really criticizing him to that degree, because I know he brings things forward that no one else has, and that he has really done a service for our country.
Yeah. For years, I was kind of always sat on the fence, and I was uncertain, because I've always heard of these like Zionist shill accusations that he's controlled opposition or COINTELPRO. And I would, like you, I would see the positive things he does. He had good guests on. He would talk about the issues. But there was always like a doubt in my mind. And in the last few years, it's just become totally clear. He suppresses the information. He cuts off callers. He'll change the subject when a guest starts going down the wrong path. He openly lies. He lies by omission. And he just doesn't have an honest conversation about these issues. And it's really apparent to people who've been watching a long time.
What do you think about the whole RDS situation with the slaves on Mars? And then now Alex Jones is accusing RDS as being a intel agent.
Yeah, Robert David Steele?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of the interview you did with him recently, and I really like how he's talking about Apex grip on Congress and how the Zionist issue is huge, and he still thinks Trump is kind of trying to fight that. But yeah, I saw that when he was on Alex Jones' show and talked about the Mars sex slave bases, and I thought that was really odd just to throw that out there, because it is kind of almost discrediting to talk about Zionism, so much good stuff, and then throw out there's bases on Mars doing this thing.
So do you think it was on purpose? Because I've been talking to Robert, and he's done good things too, you know, so I have a hard time. And he has his own things that he does. But, you know, there's so much information that's out there that is bizarre. And Robert reads, he's the most well-read person I know. I mean, he was a top reader for Amazon on nonfiction. So he's probably read a lot of books on UFOs and all that stuff. So he might actually have read some stuff on that. I have no idea in that area. You know, I mean, I'm not saying there is or anything, but he could be exploring some of those ideas in his mind and talking, like he talks to Kerry Cassidy and stuff. But it just seems odd that he would have done it at that time. And then it seems odd that Alex Jones is now claiming that he's a actual agent. I mean, the whole situation is odd to me. And then WikiLeaks, the only thing they point out to Robert David Steele is that he talks about sex slaves from Mars. It was like the whole thing was set up to hurt everybody.
Yeah, it did seem like, because they started attacking, the media started attacking Alex Jones, saying, oh, that he believes there's base sex slave bases on Mars, when he's never said anything like that. And the way Steele just kind of threw it in there and didn't back it up, like, if Steele really believes that there's sex slave bases on Mars, why isn't he talking about this like all the time?
Well, and I know he's
information behind it.
I know he's been told to back off on that whole area, that it discredits you and don't talk about it. Even if you're interested in it and it's really fascinating for you, don't talk about it. I know he's been told that, because he told me that in one of my interviews. I asked him directly about it. So, and I can see how some people would tell him that. But now it's completely used to discredit him on WikiLeaks on Wikipedia and everything. So the whole scenario is weird in my mind. But I saw some stuff on Trump. Trump's actually has a really deep connection with the Bush family back in his family history. Have you heard some of that?
You know, we always hear these like genealogy things like, oh, Obama is Hillary's 12th cousin and that kind of thing. 12 degrees of separation.
It's not
I
like
don't,
that, though. It's
oh,
like,
it's not,
no,
it's closer.
Trump's uncle's mentor was Grandfather Bush. You know, the initial Bush.
Really?
Yeah, and there's a connection with MIT and all this stuff. Dark Journalist just did a report on it. It's his new show on all those connections.
I did see learn recently that Trump's father donated bigly. That was the title of the headline. He donates bigly to Jewish causes, and you know Trump has always been very like he headed the parade, the Jewish parade in New York. He's been friends with Trump's father was friends with Netanyahu in the 80s too. And
Yeah.
then the thing that makes me think Trump has been a sleeper Zionist agent this whole time is the Roger Stone kind of. Have you seen the Roger Stone documentary?
Yes.
The whole Roy Cohn, Roger Stone, like Jewish New York mafia type thing makes me think that Trump is just a sleeper agent. He's working for the Rothschilds because when Trump was bankrupt in the early 90s, like personally owed billions of dollars, like 40 banks all over New York. The Rothschild banker Wilbur Ross is the one that bailed him out. And there's the quote that says, like, his name was valuable to us. So they bailed out Trump. Now he owes everything to the Rothschilds for saving him for that.
Yeah,
And the Rothschilds, yeah, go ahead.
there's a deeper connection with all those people, but keep going.
And the Rothschilds founded Israel. They wanted to buy up Israel even 100 years before 48 when it was founded. And I think it has to do with the importance of Israel and Zionism all is based on the return of the Messiah and the temple. And now Trump, to Sheldon Adelson's wishes, declares Jerusalem as the capital. We're rushing to build the embassy next month for the 70th anniversary of Israel. And the Sanhedrin, which is a group of 70 top rabbis in Israel, they minted a coin that has Trump and Cyrus on one side. And Cyrus is the Persian king that helped them rebuild the second temple in Jerusalem. And on the other side is the temple. So they feel like Trump is going to be their guy to help them usher in the Messiah and basically have a new world order, world government ran out of the Supreme Court of Mankind in Jerusalem. And that's Ben Gurion's plan that he talked about in the 60s, the first prime minister of Israel. And it's all according to the prophecy in the Bible and the book of Isaiah.
It's just crazy because I did a thing on Trump's top five and bottom five. And, you know, moving the embassy to Jerusalem does nothing for the United States, really. And it
No.
creates so much tension over in the Middle East that why would we do that? It benefits Israel. It maybe gives us goodwill, but that's not putting US our interests first. And why would we be spending money on something like that that we don't need to when we got other issues and things to do?
Well, Sheldon Adelson offered to pay for it, which reminds me of how the Rothschilds funded the Rothschilds funded the Knesset and the Supreme Court in Israel, with the Supreme Court with the all-seeing eye and the pyramid. It's very occultic, and the Rothschilds may even have a fantasy that somebody in their lineage will be the Jewish Messiah. And there was rumors back in the 1800s, people were writing about it. That's what the Rothschilds wanted to do was create a homeland in Israel, have all the Jews come back, rebuild the temple, and a Rothschild would be the Messiah.
Well, and do you think all their money just makes them crazy? I mean, they lose touch with the fact that they're just a human being like the rest of us, and because they have so much power for so long, because people bow down the money because they need money to live, and so they just get this weird sense of who they are.
It's got to be more than money for them. You know, the Rothschilds and all these elitists seem like they're really into the occult. So it's about having us as debt slaves and mind slaves, and the money is just like not even real to them.
Well, but I was thinking that money and their power allowed them to get so weird with the cult. You know what I mean? Like it made them crazy. I think the cult is to get to a point where evil takes over is I just don't think it's a natural human state. I just think there's something weird there.
Well, the Rothschilds are definitely, I mean, they're already, Sean from SGT Report has a great video where he talks about how much money the Rothschilds had that's documented in history. And then he kind of looks what that money would be worth now and with a little bit of interest. And it's very likely that they could be easily by far the richest people in the world. And our Forbes list says it's Bill Gates and Bezos, but that could just be what they tell us about.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the 1800s, I saw some information showing that they own like a third of the world's assets. So suddenly they don't have that much anymore. You know, they're incredibly wealthy. It's just,
and they're involved with the Federal Reserve getting started and the IMF and World Bank. I believe they're the ones that are behind a lot of these creation of the money. And that's how they enslave us all.
Now, how do you think Israel's really trying to do with the Middle East? Do you think that they want a nuclear war? Because that's not going to benefit their... it just seems like an actual World War III that becomes hot and nuclear does not seem like it meets their long-term agenda either.
These people are like apocalyptic. And if you look at Jewish prophecy, there's a war. I'm going to butcher this, but it's like Mog and Magog or something like that. And Pike wrote in Morals and Dogma, which is like the Freemason Bible, one, that it's based off the Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism, but two, that there's going to be three major world wars, and the last one is going to be between the West or Christianity and Islam. So if Islam and Christianity are fighting, who is going to come up on top when after Christianity and Islam destroy each other? And it's odd because this is what bin Laden even said right after 9/11. He denied being responsible, and he says this is the Zionists trying to create a clash of civilizations between Islam and Christianity.
Well, it seems so crazy, the divide and conquer situation. Mm-hmm. Now, did you notice that when Trump got in office, he suddenly changed the first month? Like there was like almost a noticeable change with him. Maybe he learned a whole bunch of stuff and was like shocked for a while. Did you notice that?
I mean, I don't know if I can ever vote again. I voted for Trump, and I even though I didn't have total hope in him because I did see some of the red flags going off, obviously he's the lesser of two evils than Hillary, in my opinion. So, but I don't think I can ever vote Republican and Democrat again. This is the last straw. And he's not the first politician to say one thing on the campaign trail and then get in and just totally be business as usual. So, as soon as he won, I realized, okay, he's not the real deal, because I don't think that the people in power would ever let somebody become president unless he was controlled and blackmailed.
Now, do you think that he's taking down the swamp, the pedophile that people think, all those sealed indictments? What do you think about that stuff?
Yeah, the whole QAnon, trust the system, and Jerome Corsi says, you know, Trump is going to do all this great stuff. I don't see it happening. I see him hiring Goldman Sachs to be Secretary of Treasury and Wilbur Ross to be Secretary of Commerce, Rothschild banker, and Bolton as National Security Advisor. And, you know, he's a two-faced liar, if you ask me. He's a total con man. He's probably totally corrupted by the Jewish mafia in New York. And I don't see anything good happening out of the Trump presidency. Maybe we'll get some small wins so that we can kind of go along and push the can down the road. But I just know that Israel and the Zionists and Netanyahu that he surrounded himself with want Iran and Syria taken out, because you asked earlier, what does Israel want in the Middle East? They want to dominate the Middle East. They want to grow their borders to the Greater Israel Project, the Odeh Dinan, breaking up all the countries around them. So they're divide and conquer into smaller, like ethnic conclaves, like Balkanization. And it's not just the Middle East. They want to rule the whole world. Ben Gurion said it. The Supreme Court will be in Israel. They think they're the chosen ones. They want to have a one world government, and everybody's going to like respect and worship their Messiah, essentially. And, you know, the whole Bitcoin thing is interesting. I'm sure you've heard about the cover of The Economist from 30 years ago with the rising phoenix and the coin that says 2018. The Rothschilds own a huge stake in The Economist. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the year when we do finally see a financial collapse. And Israel is moving their shekels over to cryptocurrency also. So it'd be interesting to see what comes out of that. And also, it could be the mark of the beast could be some form of AI, because Israel is just dominating in cybersecurity and artificial intelligence. Netanyahu, in his recent APEC speech, 2018, talked about how all the top Fortune 500s are moving to Israel. All the social media companies have R&D set up in Israel, and they have all of the autonomous vehicles. The self-driving car technology is all from Israel. So I'm going to do a talk show later today, the Talpiot talk. And Talpiot is like this advanced artificial intelligence cybersecurity that Israel plan that Israel has. And we can kind of see some of this artificial intelligence already in play, holding us back with the ADL hate index. They admit, the ADL of B'nai B'rith admits, that they're using artificial intelligence to deploy online on across all social media platforms to find hate speech and to basically censor it and block it and shadow ban it and that kind of thing.
Well, what is hate speech? That's the question. What is hate speech? You know.
Well, they show a bunch of graphics in the video. You can find it on YouTube. Do ADL hate speech, and they show graphics. They say conspiracy theory is hate speech. Talking about censorship is hate speech. White rights. They show a bunch of things.
And so it's if really, you even question censorship, that's hate speech? Oh, God.
Well, maybe not necessarily, but they say when people are talking about censorship, they classify that as hate speech. That's where they find hate speech, because you look at who's behind the censorship, and it's the ADL. They've got this cybersecurity group with Twitter, Facebook, Google, all of them. And ADL is purely a Jewish, like, secret society group is who founded it, the B'nai B'rith.
Well, how do we combat this? Just educate people that this is out of control? I mean, our whole media system is so controlled, and people are so dumbed down. They don't even know the Jewish lobby or the Israel lobby in Zionism. No. Half the people don't even know what Zionism is. They haven't even heard about it. Our mainstream media never even utters the word.
Yeah, Alex Jones doesn't want us. Even alternative media. You look at alternative media, especially on the right, like this whole matrix between Drudge, Breitbart, InfoWars, WorldNet Daily, even like Shapiro and Louder with Crowder, and I can keep listing them on and on, Cernovich, Posobiec, Lauren Southern, they're all so pro-Israel and anti-Islam and just totally partisan Republican. And it's just so odd that Zionism isn't talked about. I asked a guy recently, I said, I'm going to tell you a word and you tell me the first thing that pops in your head. And I said, Zionism. And he goes, Bob Marley. Like that's what people think of Zionism is Bob Marley songs.
Well, he was doing that to change the subject or whatever. It's crazy. So what do we do?
Exactly what we're doing, to talk about it. I see in the comments, especially on like InfoWars comment sections, everybody knows in there that he covers for the Zionists and that he's gatekeeping some important issues that need to be discussed. So I think the real fight is we're already doing a good job. You can see it online. Lots of people are covering these issues. And the truth will finally bubble to the surface if we're just allowed to freely talk and have discussions about this stuff. What we need to worry about is the censorship and the shadow banning and this social media grip trying to be the gatekeepers on information. We've had YouTube for just over 10 years, and they're already freaking out about the internet. They don't want us to be able to communicate and to have a platform to reach a large audience. Well, so Hillary, go ahead.
Well, I did a show on Palestine, and I have, a few guests, and all of those, every time I do a show on that, they're my lowest views, you know, and it's so weird. And it just drops like a rock. It looks like they're being censored. So how, you know, they're on top of it. They watch whenever they think that it's a video that really gets the crux. It's people that I have on that are really well respected that you would actually listen to. That's when they have a problem with it.
It could be a wild guess, but the Palestine issue, it's been going on for so long, and it's kind of depressing to think about because of what's happened to the Palestinians over there in Israel. Like literally hundreds of thousands of them were just pushed out of their land, and they're not allowed to return back to their homes. and they keep expanding more Jewish-only settlements. And that's the thing. We always talk about how Israel is our great ally and we share democracy and share values with one another. America was based on freedom of religion, not this is a Jewish country or
exactly.
a Christian country. So I don't see the connection with how we have the same democracy and values.
Yeah, because if you're Jewish, you're considered way superior to everybody else in
yeah.
that country.
Legally and religiously, like especially in the Talmud and even in the Torah, we hear all the time about white supremacists and white nationalists. But if you look at what not all Jews, but some Jews believe, that Talmudic Jews, is that we are like a lower life form. We're subhuman. We're meant to serve them. They have all these different analogies. You can find them online. And this isn't me hating or being anti-Semitic. This is me just pointing out the facts of what they really believe from their religion.
Go ahead. Do you think the average Jewish person actually believes this? Because I have
no.
friends who are Jewish. They don't.
No.
They're just like me. You know, they're just
yeah.
normal. It's the Zionists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By far. For sure that the majority of Jews don't believe that. It's definitely a minority, an extreme minority. But all Jews are under some form of like indoctrination and propaganda, and it really makes them think like, you know, they're repeated about the Holocaust and like Jews have to really stick together because the non-Jews will kill them and gas them and stuff. So they're kind of controlled by fear. But definitely I don't paint with a wide brush and say all Jews are bad. It's a select few at the very top who are pushing this stuff.
But I notice in the comments, whenever I bring up something, you know, about Zionism or something, I get all these nasty comments against the Jewish people. And instead of them putting it in context of Zionism, they just rip apart Jewish people. And so yeah. I can see if you're a Jewish person, how you would feel mm-hmm. like you're going to be attacked, because they are yeah. always attacked.
Yeah. And they probably don't like what their leaders are doing because it makes them attacked.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. Just like I don't like what my leaders are doing. When we bomb Syria, it puts us at risk here in America to have terrorist attacks on our soil. And it makes us hated around the world.
Exactly. So you said that you were uncovering some stuff in the last couple of days. Did you already talk about some of that stuff you're uncovering?
It was the Roger Stone connection that Wade Madsen wrote
okay.
about on InfoWars. And also Kelly Jones, Alex Jones's ex-wife, says that Jones was, you know, the viral video that's been going around by Sinclair Group, where all the journalists are repeating the same lines.
Yes.
So that's Sinclair Group. And Kelly Jones says that Sinclair Group, Bob Sinclair, drove down to Texas and he was the first one to syndicate Alex Jones. So it makes me think that he's always been part of the big, because, you know, they own like 3/4 of the radio media market in America. So Alex Jones isn't really an alternative. He's owned by the same people that own all the rest, kind of just acting as the alternative.
And why? Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. And then I looked at Sinclair Broadcast Group to find out, learn more about him. And I saw that in 2015, right about the time when Alex Jones really started to take off the mask and go full blown Zionist propagandist, that in 2015, Sinclair Group added to their board of directors a guy named Howard Friedman, who is the former president of APEC. We have an APEC president on the board that's like one of the most influential media companies in America.
Yeah, the media is so connected with the government and with Israel. It's really crazy. So why do you think they allowed Alex Jones to really point out and educate people about false flags and all the other, because he did a really good job of educating a lot of people mm-hmm. on things. Now they're making him out to be a nut job, but he did wake a lot of people up.
Why did they let him operate? He's told a story a number of times over the years where he was on an airplane with a top bank executive, and the executive told him that he's allowed to operate as long as he really doesn't point the finger as to who's really behind the things. So, you know, he uses some code words like globalist, or he doesn't really follow the rabbit trails all the way. But I think Alex Jones really has never broken much stuff that wasn't already out there and already talked about by other people. Like an example of this is Alex Jones predicted 9/11 before it happened a few months. But a few months before that, Cooper also predicted the same thing. So it could just be that Alex Jones hijacks the narrative of what's already being talked about and already out there in the public sphere and kind of takes it, corrals it all, and then takes it as a limited hangout or a distraction, or just, you know, drops you off the end of a cliff to nowhere.
Interesting. You do some pretty controversial videos. You just go at the juggler. You don't back off. Have you been targeted at all?
Only in the comment sections. And it's, oh, you talked about the comment sections. I wanted to say something about that. So, you know, there's two sides, people calling you an anti-Semite and a Jewish hater, which is completely not true. I don't say anything that Jewish people won't admit to or isn't, I can't document. But, oh shoot, I just lost my train of thought. What was your question again?
Well, I was just saying if you've been targeted and you said in the comments and you wanted to repeat, yeah.
Yeah, you talked about the comment sections. On both sides, the negative comments against me and some of the positive ones where they're like, oh, gas all the Jews, and the really vile ones. That's the social media is just completely infested with fake accounts and bots and sock puppets. So I think that they're doing it so much to not even hide it anymore. It used to be you were a conspiracy theorist if you said that there was bots online and that there's propaganda going on. But now with this whole election and the Russia bots, it's like just commonly known. So when you see some of the nasty comments about Jews in the comment threads, I guarantee you that that's not real people being authentic, or it's just Jewish people sitting in Israel getting paid to comment, and it's like a false flag against them. If they want to discredit me, post a bunch of terrible stuff in the comments, then an honest observer will come and look and go, wow, this is really vile. I don't want to be a part of any of this.
Well, exactly. So I think that's what they're doing. And same with cryptocurrencies. They're so aggressive. I'm starting to think anytime there's just hardcore aggressive behavior towards something, on things that are just, you're pointing to the truth, and it should be objective and shouldn't create that kind of emotion, I start thinking those are bots and they're purposely
done.
They
definitely are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done a few videos on bots. I have one like 9/11 truth infested with bots. And in my documentary, I cover some stuff. There's so much documented evidence that there is bots online, going back to Cass Sunstein's cognitive infiltration document, where he talked about infiltrating social media groups to disrupt the 4Ds. Oh, no, that's a Edward Snowden released the JTRIG documents, which came out of GCHQ, which is like the NSA in England. And there was all these slides where they talk about their methods, what they do online they do the 4Ds: deny, degrade, disrupt, and deceive. So that's their objective. It's like open, admitted propaganda, or it's not open. It was leaked.
It's leaked. Well, keep going.
DARPA also has had a purchase requisition out to get software to maintain multiple sock puppet accounts and to find propaganda and to combat propaganda. And there's a few others too, examples of these bots online. And it's not just Israel that's doing it. It's like every country and every company that has the finances can hire these bots and these companies to do this propaganda.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
The internet is just like completely compromised because of this. They're shifting opinion by creating false consensus in the comment sections, even on polls. They can sway polls, and people want to be in the in-group. They want to be received and accepted. So when you see everybody having a consensus online, a lot of people just will naturally kind of fall into that.
Yeah.
It's very effective.
So listeners, when they're doing, I love it when they comment and stuff and give critical and good comments. Mm-hmm. But if you're seeing something that seems odd, it's probably a bot. You know, because if it's too aggressive and weird, I think it's a bot too. If they don't even watch the show, and all of a sudden sometimes I'll get comments up before they even watch the show.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, honestly, I think Alex Jones may have bots, because I have a lot of followers. A lot of my original followers were Alex Jones supporters because I was a longtime listener and fan. I would make videos. They've played my videos like five times on the show. I even won the Make Fun of Hillary video contest and won a $1,000 check from Alex Jones. But in recent years, I just couldn't take it anymore. I said, all right. Trump did the interview with Alex Jones. They talked about the Muslims celebrating 9/11 and didn't talk about the dancing Israelis or the Israelis arrested from urban moving systems. And Alex Jones knows that, but he just went along with Trump. And I was like, all right, if Trump gets in and Alex Jones doesn't change his tune and start talking about this stuff again, I'll know that he's sold out and that Trump is not the real deal. And all of my worst nightmares are coming true, like Bolton being appointed as the national security advisor. And then I listened to Alex Jones on the day. I don't normally listen anymore, but I listened just to that day to hear what he would say. And of course he said, oh, it's no big deal. Bolton's a nationalist. He had Roger Stone on. Roger Stone's been friends with him for 30 years. They drink whiskey and play poker together, and he's just going to listen to whatever Trump says. That's not what happened. Day one on the job, Bolton was coordinating with Israel to bomb Syria.
Yes. So give a plug for your channel and where people can get your work.
My YouTube channel is No More News. That's KNOW, More News. And I used to have a website, but I shut it down just to focus on the YouTube channel because that's where my real passion is. And, you know, this is the stuff that I've just been personally investigating, trying to figure out the truth for myself for a number of years. And I just decided instead of venting online, arguing in comment sections and, you know, having thoughts go through my head, I wanted to get some of them down on paper and on video and try to share these ideas and just share some of the truths that other people aren't talking about and really hold the alternative media. Because, you know, with Alex Jones, it's really bittersweet because I was a huge fan of them, exactly, even though I didn't fully trust them. So it's like, you know, your girlfriend that you or your wife that you love for years, and then now she really turned your back. It makes you really resentful and upset and disillusioned, disappointed. I hate to see what's happened over there. And I've really been trying to reach out because I've had have a number of contacts at InfoWars and none of them will talk to me. I can't have a discourse on any of this. I show them some of the videos I make, which is clips of them showing they used to say Israel did 9/11. Now they say it's Saudi Arabia. And Jones, I have the clip where Jones admits Mossad agent visited him in studio and basically told him, stop saying that Israel did 9/11. And now it's everybody but Israel. Israel's always left out of the narrative whenever possible. And everybody is catching on to it. In the comments on my videos, so many people are agreeing with me. They've seen the same things. I mean, you have to be blind to not see it. But as I said, I think Alex Jones has bots too, because I'm getting some hate from people that either they're the stupidest, just like in a cult brainwashed, thinking that Alex Jones is the biggest patriot and just totally flawless.
Yeah.
Or there's bots.
And I wouldn't,
the
too
whole
extreme.
Cambridge. Yeah, the Cambridge Analytica stuff going on with connected to Trump and Roger Stone, that makes me wonder. And also, I did an interview with Wayne Madsen, who used to work for InfoWars and was a longtime guest. But in the recent years, Wayne just tweeted that for years he saw Alex Jones was accused of being a Zionist shill and he dismissed it. But now he believes it's true. Now he knows it's true.
Okay, that has said something. Well, will you stay after and do another question for my patrons?
Of course, I'd love to.
Okay, thank you.